my little darlings, what shall we do next? Oh, it's such a joy to have you round me, all the great-grandchildren together. But what a horrid wet day it is outside, and there's still a whole hour to go to tea until the grown-ups are back from the church, and I can't think of any more games to play. I know. If you all sit quietly, I'll tell you a story. Yes, a story about a beautiful maiden and her magical adventures. A fairy story.
He presents Joyce Carey and Polly Jones in A Likely Story by Owen Holder.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a little girl named Ursula who lived with her elder sister in a pretty cottage by the forest, where there were birds and deer and lots of cuddlesome creatures and all Ursula's friends. Her father was the village blacksmith, a merry man who sang in time to the hammer on the anvil.
In fact, he made motorbikes.
Down the kitchen.
The tragedy took up in 1902, the year Ursula was born. The house was one of a terrace at the grubby end of Putney, on the heath, where little Ursula held havoc among the wildlife with her catapult.
Her eyes were blue, her hair was golden, and she had so sweet a smile that everyone adored her. They didn't know, you see, that she was really very wicked, that she was a witch. As the years passed, she became less and less contented. She wanted to spread her wings. She wanted to be rich. One day, her sister, whose name was Cynthia, was walking through the fields when a band of soldiers came by, crusaders from battle in the Holy Land, led by a handsome young captain.
Platoon! Halt! Hello, miss. You're very pretty. My name's Teddy. What's yours?
It's Cynthia, but my mum said I mustn't tell soldiers.
That's all right. I'm being demobbed. We've been in Palestine, Allenby and all that.
That was nice.
And my father's place is just over the river, Sir George Weatherspoon. Big house.
Oh.
We're having a celebration at the weekend, an armistice dance. Why don't you come?
The very same day of the ball at the Grand Mansion was Ursula's 17th birthday, and she wanted to go as well.
Mum and Dad say I can.
He asked me, Ursula. He's mine. I don't want you there.
But when the captain called at their humble cottage in his fine carriage, Ursula was ready and went along, too.
You dance jolly well, Ursula. Much better than your sister.
No, poor Cynthia's a duffer at everything. She's no fun at all.
Not like you, I bet. I'm jolly glad you came.
What do you do when you're out of the army?
Back to Father's firm in town. Head office. He's Weatherspoon & Co., the big estate agent.
How jolly.
Are you ever in London at all?
Goodness, no. It's much too far. Besides, the Paul says it's a den of vice. I long to find out.
Do you? Jolly good.
That's good. Oh, it's only so close. Cynthia is looking dapper.
Blow, silly old Cynthia. You're the girl for me. You're full of fun, I can tell.
You are naughty, Captain.
I've had a spitting idea. But when I take you home, let's drop Cynthia off, shall we?
What about me?
We'll go for a spin in the motor.
He wasn't a prince, of course, as fairy tale heroines deserve. But he was the son of a knight who had bags and bags of gold, and he did so want to make Ursula his bride. He was under her spell, you see, my darlings.
What a pretty spot this is, Teddy, and a scrumptious picnic, too.
Do stop changing the subject, Ursula, and please answer my question. Will you marry me?
But we only met 2 weeks ago, and I'm much too young and innocent.
I can't sleep for thinking of you, those big round eyes and how long must I wait?
There's no need to rush things.
There is. I'm in town all week. I never see you.
Of
I know. Come and work for the firm. We'll employ you.
Work in an office? Doing what?
Filing papers and things. I'm looking for someone. 15 shillings a week.
Is that all?
I only get 30. Father's tight with money.
Is he? Oh, dear. My lodgings would cost 10.
All right. I'll make it up to a guinea. What do you say?
Oh, Teddy, how you twist me around your little finger.
What bitter tears her mother shed, and how broken was her father when Ursula declared herself the captain's bondswoman and must go with him to the big city.
I always said she come to no good.
Her sister cried too. You're a beast, Ursula. I saw him first. Everyone was sad to lose their little sunbeam. Most of all, her playmates in the forest. Don't go, the bird sang mournfully. I must, she sighed. I am his slave to do as he commands.
Who wants to live in a cemetery like Putney, anyway?
Thus it was that the hapless girl, with wise counsel from her father...
Keep your legs crossed, my girl, and send some money home regular.
...was seized and taken off to London Town. But she was careful to take all her magic spells with her, and by this means the captain treated her well. Yet, even so, the work he made her do was hard. The hours were long, and oftentimes a frown besmirched her pallid brow.
Finish in pots, my fingers get covered in ink, Teddy, and I'm up at 7 and tie by 6, and my landlady's horrid.
Then say the word, my dearest, and be rid of it. I don't want you in the office. I want you all to myself.
Oh, Teddy, you mustn't touch me. It's rude.
I can't help it. I've got to marry you.
So she remained in his service, toiling at his behest, biding the chance to use her sorcery to fly to greener pastures. And lo and behold, a wealthy merchant from a foreign land came by.
What's his name, Teddy?
Jules Deverne. He's in the wine trade and looking for premises over here. A very important client indeed.
Is that why you're taking him to dinner?
It is. Father was actually glad to fork out for once. He wants to buy a house here as well.
He's got plenty of cash to spare.
I'll say he has. Yachts and villas and all that.
We must do our best then.
We must. Father would be awfully pleased if I brought it all. I might be earning 100 a year before I'm 25. Ah, here he is.
My dear fellow, I'm late. Forgive me.
A pleasure, monsieur. May I present my fiancée, Ursula?
Yeah.
Ursula, a unique, a becoming, enchantée, mademoiselle.
Thank you, monsieur.
Jules, I'm Jules.
I'm pleased to tell you, Monsieur Deverne, we've found a warehouse for you in the city and offices in St. James's. As regards the house...
Yes, yes, very good, Mr. Weatherspoon. But tonight, let us devote ourselves to champagne, to delight, to Ursula.
In a trice, the rich merchant had fallen under her spell. He wanted to rescue her from the captain's bondage and stole the night to her lonely prison cell. But the guard ordered him to be gone.
Nobody visits my lodgers before or after 6 p.m.
Even so, he found ways to send her messages promising to free her, along with priceless gifts as well. And oh, what joy they brought her. But the guard told the captain, who was very angry, and seized her and took her to a secret place.
I didn't want to come to Eastbourne, Teddy.
You're here, and you're staying here until that frightful man goes home.
He's only been friendly.
You're so naive, Ursula. You don't know men. Besides, a change of air will do you good.
This wind's in my hair, no good at all, and I'm frozen.
Walk faster, then. We're nearly there.
Nearly
there. BT Head. The view is stunning.
Oh, you want me to look, Teddy? I can't stand high.
It might bring you to your senses. I want a decision, my girl, here and now, about us. About marriage. Here, this will do. Stop here.
Not so near the edge.
I want to be near the edge. That's the point. Now then, it's Jewel or me. Which?
What?
If it's Jewel, I'm going to jump and take you with me. He's not having you. But don't wriggle, Ursula.
There was a fearful struggle there on the high cliff as the sea raged upon the rocks below. the captain, something in his power over the stricken maiden, dragged her closer and closer to her destruction.
Stop pushing me!
And she cried out, invoking a magic spell.
Enjoy your trip, Kenny!
And suddenly a great wind arose, which lifted him high into the air and out to sea, and he was gone forever. People from all about came running, bad people who said that our dear girl was to blame, and took her before the reeds, who was very fierce and jarred and thundered.
In all my years as coroner, I would say that this evil, atrocious act to send a fine young man deliberately to his death. This is the clearest case for further proceedings that ever I heard, one that demands the extreme penalty of the law.
So that another magic spell was needed, a simple charm by way of Ursula's sweet smile.
I would say that, were it not that the only perpetrator is the young lady before us. This mere child, yet promising and deserving of all life's pleasures. No. A violent deed at her hands is unthinkable. I never knew a plainer case of death by misadventure.
Whereupon, the rich foreign merchant reclaimed her, and away she had to go to his grand dwelling across the sea, in a strange land with strange customs, where in dark, smoky caves, people made gold.
Faites for sure, madame, monsieur, that's it.
Oh, let me do this time, George. You're no good at all.
Whatever you wish, chérie. How many teeth?
20, do for start. Oh, no, let me think. Oh, my age, 17.
All of them on one number? Oh, mon Dieu.
Rien ne va plus.
Fingers crossed.
17.
Wow. You did. Incroyable.
Well done, young lady. Beginner's luck.
What?
Nice, easy. Hey, are you in the beach?
Pretty well by now. It's been 900 years since that dude Hastings, don't you know?
So the fair maiden found that she too could make gold as if by magic, as it probably was. And the rich merchant was all the more enchanted by her, and bestowed many favors upon her, while desiring to bestow even more.
Let us take the champagne to your room, shall we, chérie?
I like it here on the balcony. I like looking at the sea, and I can't from my room.
From my room, you can. From the bed, also.
Really? Could we swap?
Why do that? Move into mine.
You've got two beds in there, have you?
No, just one. Large and soft, and well sprung.
Can't you afford two? Only poor people have to share, like Mama and Papa.
No, my darling. That is not the reason. They love each other.
I love them, but I don't get into their bed.
Do you not know of such things?
What things?
Oh, mon Dieu.
Life is very agreeable for our heroine. But the merchant was often busy at his trade, and the poor girl had to spend long, lonely hours lying in the sunshine on the golden sands.
I say there, adieu.
Hello, and you're the man from Hastings, aren't you?
What? Oh, very good, yes. No, actually, one of the northern shires. My father's a marquis.
Marquis?
Castle and all that.
Castle?
Yes, I'm a lord.
Good lord.
No, none of that. They call me Potter, everyone else does. What's your fellow?
Stuck on the telephone. The boss or something.
The old fox and shares, what? Well, he'll be ages. Come for a buzz in my seaplane. I'm just off.
Seaplane? George has only got a yacht. Does he win?
I'll show you. Come on.
What? No, I can't. George wouldn't like it. He's been ever so good to me, you see.
Oh, how? Like an uncle or like a chap?
He is my uncle.
Is he? That's all right, then. Ah. I say, do come. We'll loop the loop.
Can you?
I know, yeah. Never tried before. Let's see. Come on.
Up they went on his magic carpet, and all the birds joined in the frolic, swooping and swirling across the sky. time was forgotten, and the birds had long gone to their nests ere the magic carpet came to rest again.
I'm in my room, George.
I say, he sounds awfully cross and reliable.
He's French, you see. He's got a top-up bottle.
Thank you.
Where are you? What is this?
This is Potter's. You know Potter's.
What hell, Uncle?
In your bedroom? And champagne.
Lifter before Dintin's, old chap. Join us.
I am not joining you. You are leaving us.
Jules, this is the second floor. You're right, Potter.
I'm the wrong way up in a very booth.
What was he doing in here?
I had to change for dinner.
With a strange man?
Oh, he isn't strange, he's sweet.
I will not have it. But I will have you. Oh. Get this off.
Oh, my dress. Oh, don't. Stop it.
6 weeks, I've stopped it. 6 weeks, my shy little flower. Not a minute more. I will teach you what a bed is for.
Wait, please. Let me get my nightie.
Well, this is no time for nighties.
I must put it on, I must.
Whatever for.
It's rude and nude.
Oh, mon dieu. Here it is. Be quick.
You mustn't look.
Oh, les Anglaises, very well. There.
The fair damsel made a magic sign, and lo, a tiny spider web on the ceiling suddenly became huge. The strands as thick as rope and fell upon them. The more he struggled, the more he became entangled, until there was no life left in him, and our heroine was saved. How the simple foreign folk marveled at her strange powers. So they sent a special wizard to inquire.
Bonjour, mademoiselle. Ah, Monsieur Gaston Pêche, agent de la Sûreté.
Please sit down, monsieur.
Ah, merci. This is very bad, very sad.
I don't know how it happened. We're dancing.
Ah, dancing? Here in the bedroom? Ah, yes. I little before the yes, yes, we are understanding.
It was a Spanish dance. Ah. I picked up my nightie to dance with and a scarf, you see.
Ah, oui. We have seen Carmen. This nightie? Oh, so silky, so soft. Yes, yes, and then?
He grabbed it from me, and put it round his neck, and flung himself about. It got so passionate.
I can believe it.
And then he tripped. He fell, and I took off on the bed knob, and...
Oh, doucement. Poor man, poor girl. Here, cram my shoulder. So. There.
Monsieur.
Oh, there we are.
Help me closer, please.
Oh, oui.
What will happen to me? Oh. I'm innocent. Quite innocent in every way.
You are? It will be attended to. I will attend to it.
You'll arrest me and put me in prison.
Jamais, absolument. This was an accident. Yes, yes, I see it clearly. I will inform my superiors, sir.
How sweet you are.
Oh, no prison for you, my dear. You must be free to dine with me this evening.
Oh, dear, Monsieur Poche.
But alas, the wizard saw no more of her. For at once, the young English lord made off with her upon his magic carpet. And by tea time, they were safely back in England at his father's castle. And, oh, what a fine castle it was, with forests and streams and gardens as fair as ever were. How glad the maiden was to rest her gaze upon it all, as was the Marquess to rest his gaze upon the maiden.
Gad, Potters, where did you find her?
Who should take to her, Peter?
I can't think how you managed it, an ass like you. What are you going to do with her? Hide her in town somewhere?
No, dash it. I need to marry her.
Marry? Oh, no, she ain't for marrying. No family, damn it.
She's for the sheets, not the purple.
Yes, yes, the sheets, my God.
Oh, he's okay with everything, and oh, it's divine. Such sweet dungeons. And I adore the moat, but there's no water in it.
It was filled in long ago, my dear. Pity the guests used to fall in.
Does the drawbridge still work?
It does, actually. We keep it up in case those damn Scots start raiding again.
What merry days, Silver, with much feasting and drinking, and many a grand ball, where the young lord tripped a lively measure with his beloved, as did his father, the great nobleman himself, who hadn't danced for years. Then, all of a sudden, our heroine's enchantment was in danger. It was the foreign wizard, jumping up and down with rage, as foreign wizards do.
I've been deceived, denied, insulted. I've come hot feet to make correction.
Look here, Monsieur Porsche.
Sir, this young lady has dishonored me.
You said I was innocent.
En condition, mademoiselle, en condition, tat fortit, as you say.
What is the old girl all about?
I did what I could for her, young sir. She must do what she can for me.
Damn it, you do mean hanky panky.
I do. I demand this young lady return with me at once.
No.
You must. I'm mad for you. My work, my sleep, my stomach, all is disaster. I must possess you.
Monsieur Porsche, I happen to know you possess a wife and 12 children.
I do, and how they are suffering. I cannot be lived with in this condition. Consider them. Consider me. I beg you.
Get out of here, you inedible fromage. Or I'll call the police.
Go on, buzz off, Porsche. Go on, hot feet. The young lady's been cleared, the case is plain.
I will open it again.
Oh, no.
Mais oui, your story has many loose holes, and I will look into them. Come with me, come to bed, or go to prison.
What was to be done? The wizard's magic powers were even stronger than Ursula's, and it seemed her cruel destiny was to be a slave in his harem. A harem, my darling, is a kind of home for ladies run by gentlemen. The poor girl had to outwit him if she could, and so she ordered a great feast to be brought with much wine, and in the wine she slipped a potion which was meant to make him vanish. But because he was a wizard, he only fell asleep instead.
He passed out again. Can we do something?
I say, Peter, couldn't we bang him in the dungeons? No one would ever find him.
Damn it, that's my cellar.
Jacques, portez-moi, Jacques. Mon chapeau. Oui, mon chapeau.
No hurry, Porsche.
Oui. My darling one and I, we must catch a train to paradise.
Not my LMS, you weren't. More like purgatory. In any case, you can't even stand up.
Hold on. Take him for a walk.
What?
Round the moat. Gone.
What was the dear girl up to? Was she trying to escape? But she made no sign to let the drawbridge down. Instead, she waited. Waited for the young lord and the wizard to come by until they were just below the drawbridge.
Potters! I'm up here!
Hello there! Monsieur!
Can you come up a minute?
Hang on, I'll climb up.
Away there, Gascon! Down in a second!
I will see you like Romeo!
What is it, bitch?
How do I lower the drawbridge? Is this a break?
By the wheel! You pull it! There it is, there it is!
What happens if I do it all at once? Like this?
Porsche was under there.
Was he? Oh, dear. How careless of him.
In a flash, the wizard was nothing more than a heap. A very small heap, indeed. And that was the end of him. But alas, it only made things worse. But very soon, post-haste from London, there came a Lord High Sheriff wanting to know what was what.
Straker of the yard, my lord. And I must say I take a very serious view of the manner of Mr. Posh's demise.
So do I, Inspector. Made an awful mess of my moat.
French, I grant you, but a colleague of mine even so.
It was a pure accident, Inspector. He just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, poor chap.
You were with the young lady when it occurred, were you, sir?
Well, thought of.
Meaning, yes, you were, within reach of the bright.
He never touched it, nor did I. Suddenly went. Didn't it, Potter?
Like Bill, yeah, no idea how. Wasn't me, Inspector.
You're not implying it was Ursula, then?
Good heavens, no. Innocent as a newborn was it, and so forth.
Inspector, let's go and have a look, shall we? Just the two of us. You show me. I'm sure I can explain everything.
As you please, miss. You don't have to hold my hand.
Oh, I thought you'd like.
Not on duty, miss.
Don't like the look of this, Podders.
It black for the dear girl, I must say.
Can't let her suffer. Chaps must defend the weaker sex.
Good Lord, yes, to the bitter end.
Not that annoying. Glad to hear it. So you just go ahead and confess, hmm?
Confess? Me?
If necessary. Nothing to worry about.
Nothing? This is murder.
Flatwood wouldn't dare arrest a lord, knows his place.
Suppose he doesn't, and does.
Eh?
Arrest me. He'll bang me in the dock.
Well, I get hold of old Humphrey, best KC in the country. He'll get you off.
Then let him get Ursula off.
Why, shame on you, son of mine, throw a young girl to the lions. I'd be a man and own a
home. I didn't do it.
This is no time to split hairs, David. Now come with me.
How's it going, Inspector?
Well, my lord, having examined the facts, and in the light of the young lady's version of events, I'm pleased to say that I am perfectly satisfied.
You are? Whoopee!
Isn't he sweet?
He's good, sir, Inspector. Perfectly satisfied that the young lady done it. And I'm arresting her for the murder of Mr. Posh.
You don't mean it.
You rotten bitch.
I must warn you, miss, that anything you say...
No, we can't have this, Inspector. She didn't do it.
Of course she didn't.
My son did. Just tell me, sir.
Peter?
Engineered the whole thing. Oiled the wheel, removed the safety catch. She only had to touch the brake.
Peter?
Which he did. The devilish clever. Yes, had to tell his old father, Inspector. Cards on the table, clean breast, sent to me. Good lad, proud of him.
You really are a brick, Potter. So the brave young lord took the blame and proved himself truly noble. But alas, the sheriff was no respecter of nobility. He had hanged the duke only a few weeks before, and the poor young man was tried and punished dreadfully, which upset our heroine no end, of course.
Poor Potter's 20 years in Dartmoor.
But as he was the seventh son, and she had little chance of being a marchioness, she wasn't quite so upset as she might have been. Even so, what next? What was to become of her?
How'd you like to live in Grosvenor Square, my dear?
In London? Oh, if only I could.
Well, you can. It's my house. I'll take care of you.
Oh, Marcus, you don't want to be bothered with a girl of my age.
Begad, I do. Itching to be bothered. Mm-hmm. Been itching like fun since I first laid eyes on you.
Why, Marcus, you're dripping.
Why do you think I had young Potters put away, eh?
Goodness, wasn't that old Humphrey's doing? Making such a bosh of his defense.
No, on my orders, my pet. Good for the boy, make a man of him. Turn out for the best, see if it don't.
For him?
No, for me, David. You, too, if you say the word. Grandest house in the square, rolls to riding, servants galore, silk sheets, and sheets, and my God, sheets!
Oh, Marcus, you are naughty. But I'm underage. My mother would call the police.
Yeah, we'll get round that, all right. I live at the club, and we'll pop round and see you.
What a catch for the fair maiden, to be the servant of a noble lord. And in what style she lived at his splendid mansion house in London Town. For he was so very kind to her, as to be more like a friend, and gave her lots of gold besides. She was very kind to him, too, for whenever he felt tired and wanted to lie down, as he often did, she would use her magic to vanish into thin air.
Come to bed, pussikins, and wait in. Ursula? Where the devil has she got to this time?
Because she was his maidservant, she had to go everywhere with him. And, oh, what grand occasions they went to. What grand people she met. And one day, at a sort of jousting match on the river, our heroine's dream came true.
just like Cinderella.
It's called Maywig, Mifette. It takes place in June and lasts a fortnight.
Yes, the prince was telling me about it.
Prince? What prince?
Oh, the matter in the pew when I was getting your strawberries. He came up and spoke to me. Prince.
Prince who? Of what?
Rodrigo, my lord of Sicily. Sicily? Ain't had a monarchy since God knows when.
I do not accept that the revolution stops to Garibaldi. The country belongs to my family, and one day I will be king. Plans for the invasion are well advanced, and I will lead my troops to victory.
Don't let's keep you from it.
Well, nothing will, my lord, but for my wife, my princess.
Oh, can't you spare the time?
I do not have one. That is the problem. A king-to-be must have a queen-to-be. I must take her with me. I wish to take your daughter.
My daughter? Married with nine children.
This daughter, my lord.
Me?
You, my darling. One a glance, one a word, and I knew. You are the answer to all our prayers, my darling mine.
Take your mucky foreign hands off her, David. She ain't my daughter.
My daughter, thus there was. The noble lord would not part with his servant for anything. But that was hardly fair. Because, after all, in the best fairy stories, the maiden always married her prince. So that when he came knocking at her door, she had to let him in if the noble lord was out. For one must never be rude to a royal. But alas, there came a day when her lord and master chanced to inspect her quarters. He wasn't expected at all. And there was the prince inspecting them already.
Bells, bells, the poacher! Off my property, you thief!
And as for you, Miguel...
In a trice, the noble lord bundled the weeping maiden into his carriage and took her far away to his castle.
Keep you out of harm's way. Up here, my little thief.
Oh, don't be cross with me, sweetie. He was only trying to be friendly.
What are you trying here? Man traps everywhere and guns pointing in all directions. Now stop blubbering about it, will you? Damn it, that settles it. I'll marry you myself.
Marry? Oh, Marcus. The potter wouldn't take it.
By the time he gets out, I'll be dead. Keep you warm, then. Juice warm again.
What did you say?
Well, that is very tempting. Let me think about it.
But all she could think about was her prince. And one day, as she was peeling an orange, it turned into a crystal ball. And therein she saw the answer and knew what she must do.
Why, of course I'll marry you.
My dear girl.
And I want everyone to know I want a big, big house party. We'll dance all night and hunt all day.
Splendid.
And I want the prince to be there.
That blighter? Not on your life.
It's the only way to get rid of him. Let him see it. Toodaloo forever.
Damn it, yes, I'd enjoy that. What a clever girl you are.
So the festivities began, and all the best people in the land were there, including the prince. On the first evening, there was a grand ball, and everyone made merry, except the prince, who was bewildered and very cross.
May I have the honor of this dance, young lady?
Oh, no, your highness. Tonight I can only dance with the Marquis. Come in. We must be seen together.
You are truly going to marry him?
No, I'm going to marry you, but go away.
I cannot understand.
Your room later. But keep away now. A pleasure to meet you, your highness.
Next day, all the lords and ladies went hunting, and a glorious time they had too, killing and maiming small creatures with many a jest and all in good sport, which of course the small creatures well understood.
And obliging of the birds to be so plentiful. How's your bag, your highness?
Not too bad, sir. A first-class gun, this one.
I'd always keep a few for me guests.
Mine's a beauty. I think I actually hit something just now.
Your aim is superb. You bagged the Marquis. May I say how delighted I am for both of you.
They're jolly sporting, your highness. Good show. I say,
They've found something over there. Come on.
Mind how you go, sweetie.
The gas! Look at them!
It's the time, I think, darling.
I think so, too, my angel.
What is it? Oh. What has happened?
Oh, my fiancé! Oh, no!
Alas, the noble lord was as stiff as a poker. The guests were naturally most upset because it was only the second day of the party and they all had to go home, including the prince. He was the first away, in fact, leaving the fair maid all alone. Though not for long, for on the very next day, the fearful Lord High Sheriff was back again.
You'll have none of that, young lady. You can't fool me. I know you've done this like you've done it the last time.
Oh, Inspector, how can you? As if I would. He was going to be my husband.
So was his idiot son, as I remember.
How is Potters, by the way? I haven't seen him for ages.
Still on the moor, miss. Where you ought to be, where you will be after this, mark my words. For murder. And I'll tell you for why. When a shot is fired from a gun, the rifling marks on it are like fingerprints. No two the same. And I'll match the fatal cartridge to the gun if it takes a month.
How clever you are, Inspector. Except they were mostly his lordship's guns.
What the guests were using? Better still, the guns are in situ.
Yes, cleaned and polished and put in the rack.
That won't stop me finding which gun it was.
But how can you know who pulled the trigger?
I do know, young lady, and I'll make it stick. See if I don't.
He'd made up his mind to have her punished and brought her before the magistrate. But neither that august personage nor anyone else would listen. And the sheriff was very angry indeed.
Billard, my credentials are being abused. I've been at this job for 15 years, and when I meet a guilty party, I get vibrations. My vibrations are proof enough that she done it.
Objection! Objection most emphatically sustained. This is quite inadmissible and downright defamatory. Would any young lady deliberately strike down the object of a most highly desirable marriage?
Never, Your Honor. I loved him deeply. Deeply. I never, never would. And it's so kind and sweet of you to say so.
No, no, my dear. Kind and sweet of you to thank me.
Watch out, my lad, watch out. She's up to every trick in the book.
Trick, did you say? Trick? Must you compound her grief and distress with yet more slander? You are a heartless blackguard, yes, sir, and I dearly wish it were you in the dock before me. Case dismissed. And you, my dear, dry your tears and come to my room for tea.
So the maiden's primrose path was clear. And without more ado, she married her prince amid great rejoicing. And, oh, what a lovely bride she made. Her mother, her father, and her sister were there, of course, at the back of the church. And the Princess Ursula gave them such a gracious wave as she swept by on the arm of her prince.
You see that, Mum? 12 shillings I'll pay for this hat, and she barely even looked.
Away they went in a golden carriage, drawn by 6 white horses, to a magnificent banquet. The silver goblets overflowed, and everyone was very, very merry. Our dear girl's only sadness was that her parents and her sister were nowhere to be seen, perhaps because in all the excitement she'd forgotten to ask them.
I'll kill her for this, I will. I'll kill her.
In due course, the radiant bride and groom were off on their honeymoon, far across the sea to a fabulous city full of tall towers, taller than giants, so tall that they were lost in the clouds. And at the very top of one of them, there lived a dragon. Yes. A dragon the prince wanted his bride to see. He hadn't told her. It was to be a surprise. And oh, it was. For as they left the big magic box that carried them up, they opened a door and came face to face with the huge fire-breathing monster.
Darling, this is Mother.
And what's this? That you've married?
Ursula, Mother. The best girl in the world.
How do you do, Your Highness?
How I do what is none of your business. Did I say you could marry my son? What made him do such a damn fool thing?
Love, Mother. This same damn fool thing that made you marry Father.
See, whatever happened to him? Is he still alive?
Still alive and still somewhere up the Amazon.
Is the stuff still coming up out of the ground?
Silver, actually.
Whatever it is. So long as his checks keep coming in. Hey, you. Ursula. What are you in? Oil, steel, what?
I'm not in anything. I haven't a bean.
I guessed it. A bum, a pauper. Are you crazy, Rodrigo? 2 years I've had this stupid heiress lined up for you. In meat.
Keep her on meat. Do not speak of my wife in this way. We are lovers forever.
Very soon, the happy pair were back in England, where they lived in a fine manor house amid rolling countryside and had lots and lots of children. But that's not the end of the fairy story, because they did not, I'm afraid, live happily ever after.
Will you please answer my question?
I am reading my mail, reading your bills, shoes, hats, masks.
I'm a princess, aren't I? What about my question?
I didn't hear it.
When are you going to invade Sicily?
Definitely next week.
You've said that every week for nearly 20 years.
Changing the world takes time. And I've not finished my breakfast.
Can you possibly delay it for a month?
My breakfast?
The invasion. I've had a letter from my sister. She's marrying a parson. Well, what else at her age? And she wants us to go. Invading Sicily would be such a good excuse to decline.
You would ruin my plans, my destiny.
How selfish you are. But I will do what I can.
Well, well, this is from Mother.
She must be short of money, too.
Dear God. Father has popped off. Suddenly.
No, what happened?
An alligator, apparently. He loved his morning swim. Poor Mother is heartbroken. His business may collapse.
Heavens! Will your money stop, too?
It could. A tricky bunch, his partners, swindlers and robbers, and the workforce are cutthroats to a man. I must get started.
Wherefore? The mine?
In New York. Mother wants to see me.
So the prince had to go off to fight the dragon, leaving the princess all by herself. Until one morning, a grand coach came bowling up the drive. And who do you think it was?
Father, how lovely.
Hello, puppet. They let me out, and here I am.
Yes, the noble lord's son. None the worse for wear, and so happy to be back. The princess was happy, too. How jolly they were, and what a celebration they had.
That's the stuff. First glass of bubbly in 20 years.
Poor Potters. Was it awful, breaking rocks and sewing mailbags in those bogs?
Didn't care for the tailor much. Still, I had you to think of. Kept me going. Bit peeved when I heard you were getting hitched to Peter.
He was only keeping me in the family. Then bang, bang, and he was bagged.
Yes, odd that. Rotten.
Yes, anyway, cheers, sweetie.
Bottoms up, Poppet. Pity is, dash it, now you're stuck with this Spanish onion.
Oh, he'll be away for ages. You must stay.
The young lord was such a comfort for our forlorn heroine, even though he persisted in wanting to marry her. But she did what she could to take his mind off it. And then, one evening, out of the blue, the prince was home again.
Who's been sleeping in my bed?
Only Potters, my dear. I knew you'd want him to have the best.
The room next to yours in front of the servants?
Heavens, no. I always lock the door.
I will not have a man in my bed.
I should hope not. Anyway, he won't be here tonight, and he's off in the morning.
3 months too late.
Yes, 3 whole months. What kept you so long?
My mother kept me so long. My mother.
I've had great trouble. Against my advice, she is at this moment on her way up the Amazon.
To get her hands on the family silver.
Exactly so.
Well, shouldn't you have gone with her?
I have my kingdom to reclaim.
Well, now, how can you? There's no money.
Money. Yes, that I must have, and you must give it to me.
Me? Money?
Not money, no. A divorce.
Divorce? I say, that's rough, Posy.
She's an heiress from Chicago in meat. His mother's kept her in cold store since she was 16. I'm damned if he'll get away with it.
I'll have a word with him.
We had words all night. He won't budge, not an inch.
Whatever happens, I'll stand by you. Though, I must say, you know, a divorce would suit me, rather. I'd marry you tomorrow.
But it's the principle of the thing. I'm to be chucked out without a penny.
Oh, damn it, he can't do that.
He can, because of you. Being here when he wasn't.
Eh?
But if I won't divorce him, he'll fight you and divorce me.
The blighter, the stinker, no way to treat a woman.
No feeling, no respect for my pride. Oh, Potter's, look. Mushrooms.
Huh?
He loves mushrooms. Pick them for me, would you? Mm-hmm. The mushrooms were cooked, and the princess murmured some magic words, entreating them to soften the prince's heart also. And then he ate them. But woe and lack a day, something was amiss. Perhaps the princess used the wrong magic words. For within moments of their stucking in... Rodrigo!
Good God, what's happened? Here, let me...
Rodrigo, say something.
Oh, me. Think he can, can't he? Dead as mutton.
Oh! A doctor was called, but he sent for an officer of the law.
The police!
And the young lord made off in great haste before the sheriff could get there. The very same sheriff that our heroine knew of old.
Not you, Inspector. Still at it?
My last case, Mrs. Mann. And blow me, I couldn't ask for a better. I'll go out with a bang, in glory, or my name's not Striker of the Guard.
So it was that the princess found herself on trial again. It was almost becoming a habit. And to make matters worse, the magistrate wasn't at all friendly, because, you see, Ursula's spells were a little rusty by this time, and the hangman's rope seemed very close indeed. But, oh, some twitch of magic remained, for the young lawyer who spoke for her was suddenly inspired with pity, for her smile was just like his mother's.
Milad, the relevance of the mushrooms is suddenly clear. Yes, my client gave them to her husband, yes, to please his whim, as a token of her devotion and loyalty. For that reason, innocent and praiseworthy, she gave them, yes. But who, I ask, who picked the mushrooms?
Hmm?
Why, the man, the very man, who had for so long pursued his predatory designs to tear her from her loved ones for himself. A convicted murderer, a wolf whose lust knew no bounds. And has he not gone to earth, slunk away, abandoning this poor woman to suffer the tempest of the law for his crime? Find the mushroom picker, I say, and we have found the villain.
Lo and behold, it did the trick. Our heroine was released yet again. Though sad to say, after a long search, the young lord was unearthed and taken in.
I didn't do it. I didn't. Honestly, I didn't.
And he was locked up again for another 20 years. He seemed to be making a habit of it, too. As for the wicked sheriff, he was so cross to see his quarry, the princess, escape his evil clutches, that he went quite mad.
There's no justice. I ruined your nothing. I'll strangle her with my own bare hands, I will. And find everlasting fame and glory.
And he had to be locked up as well. But still,
What mattered was that our heroine was happy, even though her children vowed never to speak to her again. In their silly own way, they couldn't help feeling that she'd been beastly to father. Never mind. She had her freedom, but not, alas, for long. For as she left the court, some nasty, rough men pounced upon her.
Oh, you couldn't help!
And they dragged her off and put her aboard a dirty old ship down in the darkness of the hold, where she was to stay for a long time as the ship sailed on and on across the ocean. After how many weeks, the sea became a river, whence came the calls of strange animals and birds. And when the ship disembarked, the princess found herself in a tropical forest by some rapids, so that she had to walk. And, oh, how hot it was! And, oh, the flies stung her. At last they came to a clearing, where there were lots of coarse men and, oh dear, waiting for her. Can you guess what she saw? That same very old dragon.
Yes, it's me, dear. I hear you killed my son.
You? This is your doing. Where the hell am I?
Where do you think? Miles from anywhere, up the Amazon, where it's quiet and nobody asks questions.
The silver mine.
My silver mine, dear. Ramos!
What am I here for? What does this mean?
It means, goddammit, you got away with murder in England, but I'm putting the record straight right here, get me?
You call your majesty?
This is ex-General Ramos dos Genius, better known to the FBI as Evil Genius.
A gangster?
Mexican army didn't play so good. Greetings, princess.
Princess be damned, you big ape. She don't have no more cash than you don't have. And get going, will you? When you're gonna do it? How?
Do what?
It's called justice, baby. With love from Rodrigo.
How did I see the lady? I gotta think. Something special.
Many mine shafts around. Or anthills. Or, say, what about snakes?
Snakes?
Sure. I love it to be snakes. Oh, they'd love you too, dear.
I think about
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, don't bear it, snakes. Let me know when you do it. I want to be there. Yes, sir, I want to see that.
The foul brigand bound her hand and foot and threw her into a hut to await her fate as decreed by the dragon. Outside, pumas screamed, parrots squawked, snakes hissed. Snakes! Oh, horrors! The princess filled the air with all the magic spells she could remember. But who was to know? Who was to save her? Then, as dawn broke, the door opened. Who's that?
Me, Princess. Ramos.
Oh, no. Is this it? The snakes?
We talk about that. And I sit by you. Okay?
Okay, for whom? Don't call me.
I tell you something. You are my sort of woman.
Hooray.
I tell you more. I don't like that woman. She took me so I get mad. Look what I've done for her. I bring the boys. We take care of the partners. She takes over the marriage. Okay.
Boys?
My boys. They go back to Chicago. I don't owe her nothing. So listen. You're a princess, okay? So you've got to be rescued by St. George. Not me.
You're St. George? But what about the dragon?
I feed her to the snakes. You marry me and be my queen.
Queen?
Sure. I know the rules. A princess is going to move up to queen. Okay. So I make myself king.
King of where?
Around here. Thousands of miles. Nobody don't know. Nobody don't want. I take over. King Ramos. Big coronation. Big wedding. You marry me, huh? It's me. Or the snakes.
Well, she had no choice. The dragon was slain. The bold brigand proclaimed himself emperor. And the princess became queen of all the Americas. and with so much silver about, very rich besides. She built herself a beautiful palace, and there she reigned in great style for many, many years. And very happily, too, until one dreadful day, the sky fell in.
In the ballroom, darling, the conga!
We've got to get out of here. The Belgian army's coming.
The Belgian what?
This is their territory, goddammit.
It's ours, you're the king.
It's got a king already. It's his. Move, will you?
Oh, why didn't they tell us before?
You didn't hear about us before. Come on, the helicopter's ready.
Where are we going?
But the ex-queen had no wish to be the wife of the common brigand. And when the chance came, she slipped away and took ship for England, not forgetting to take all the silver she could lay hands on, besides the crown jewels, of course. Back in London town, having no home to go to, she had to make do with an inn by a green park. The Ritz, actually. And there she lived in splendor for some time. Yet, with no husband, and her children now married and well out of reach, she was very lonely and sad. She could perhaps have spent a while with her sister, but...
For the church mice in a drafty parsonage at the back of beyond, without a bean?
No, it wouldn't be fair. So the poor ex-princess, ex-queen, had to languish in luxury, as such people often have to do. Then, one day, when she was beginning to worry that her money would run out, and none of her sorceries seemed to be working, she looked out of her window, and there, lo and behold, there was a message written across the sky.
Poppet Ring Podders, Knightsbridge 6139. Podders!
Yes, the young lord, trailing a streamer from his magic carpet, flying round and round.
Hello?
Poddles, you darling.
Poppet, saw it, did you? It had to get hold of you somehow. We've been out 6 weeks going mad for you. Not married or anything, are you?
No. Well, yes, sort of. Not sure.
Eh?
In South America, naked tribal chief officiated.
Oh, hear me?
I doubt it.
Nothing can't be. Your fear's a bird. Let's do something about it. I say, it's all come up chumps. Every bally one of my brothers has kicked the bucket, bless his heart. I'm the Marquis now, castle and all. So, what do you say?
Yes, Potter. Yes.
And so they married. And thereby our heroine became an English countess and truly noble, which one can never really be with a foreign title. And she felt quite at home at last, and never so happy. But, oh dear, not for long. For on the very first evening after the honeymoon, settled comfortably by the fire at the castle.
Well, my dear, we've managed it after all. Safe in harbour, as you might say. And now I have something to tell you. Are you quite comfy?
Yes, I couldn't be happier.
Good. But the future will be quite as you'd expected.
Oh, you imp. Surprise me. Tell me.
For nearly 40 years of my life, I've been in clink.
Oh, I'm not ashamed. I don't blame you one bit.
You shouldn't. You put me there.
What?
First I got clobbered for Monsieur Porsche.
Yes, it was sweet of you.
Then clobbered again for Rodrigo.
I did what I could. Really, I did.
By golly, that's true. You did for me as much as you did for them. And I'm jolly miffed about it.
Potters?
That's why I had to find you again. A castle makes a damn good prison.
Prison?
Yes. You'll be serving the sentence you never got. Locked up for life, my dear. And I've got the key.
You're having me on. I'm your puppet. You wouldn't do that to your puppet.
I will. I love every minute. Banged up in your room you'll be. No outings, no frills, and no money.
You beastly brute. I'll run away.
Where to? Who'd have you? What would you live on? Oh, no. You've got to stay. And be grateful. My ancestors would have walled you up.
Ah!
Yes. And another thing. When I'm dead, I'll disown you.
His lordship was as good as his word, and so strict She was lucky not to be in the dungeons. He let her children come to see her once in a while, for now that she was a countess, they loved her again, yet approving nonetheless of her captivity. The long, empty years in her room, her cell, linked by without reprieve, her magic powers all lost and gone, or so she believed, until one day...
Monsieur, you have a visitor.
Am I allowed to?
As it goes, sir.
Cynthia. Cynthia, of all people. Dearest one, come in. I'm so pleased.
You have half an hour, madam. No more.
Half an hour?
I'll send up tea. Do stay to dinner if you care to.
Oh, yes, Cynthia. I'd love that.
Dinner with me, Ursula. Good afternoon.
What does he mean? And he's locked the door again.
He has some funny ways. Now sit down, come along, do. Then tell me why you're here.
I will.
You're looking well. And different somehow.
60 years different.
As long as that, how time flies.
I found it dragged, rather. But never mind.
Yes. It's your voice. It's changed. So posh now.
Yes. Simon was somewhat particular about it. If I'm inclined to bleat, you must blame him.
Your husband, of course. The parson. How is he?
Comfortable, I trust, on the right hand of God.
Oh, dear.
True to form, he left me with the widow's mite, so I've come to you.
For money? Oh, I haven't any.
You're a countess.
It's all in his bank.
A taste of honey, then. A little easement, as Simon would say. I've never heard either, you see, and I feel you owe it to me.
Oh, owe it, do I?
I shouldn't be in this situation if I'd married Teddy.
Teddy? Who's Teddy?
The captain. The man you pinched from me. The one you pushed over the cliff.
Him? Goodness, it was a long time ago.
I haven't forgotten.
Cynthia, you don't mean to say you want to stay here?
Yes, I want to be taken in. I am your sister. I want some of the perks you've had all your life. In my case, the rewards of virtue.
Oh, but my husband would never dream of it. It is just not on. He's like that.
Well, of course, my dears. The whole story came out, every word of it. And, of course, Cynthia was horrified and declared she would do whatever she could to help. To begin with, she talked the noble lord into letting her stay. And within a few days, she'd won him round completely. Thus, the sad countess dared to hope for better things. Perhaps her magic still lingered on, after all.
Yes, Olivia.
I've such news. So much to tell you.
You've got the key.
More than that. I've got him in the palm of my hand. And guess what? I've seen his will.
You haven't.
Just now, after lunch. He was tiddly. It was easily done. My dear, you're not disowned at all. He's left you everything. The castle, his money.
He can't have. He hates me.
He wants you to suffer. Yes, it's his sense of humour. He means to twist the knife till his last gasp. But then, oh, then, how rich, how grand, how recompensed you'll be.
No, no, I can't believe it. I can't. You're making it up.
How could I? I was married to a parson.
Then it's true? Oh, wonderful! What a heartless wretch is.
Isn't she just outrageous? How splendid when he's gone, though. Just the two of us.
Won't it be lovely? Oh, but how lovely we have to wait. Or do we? We don't.
What? Ursula.
Accidents do happen. And he does deserve it.
No. No, Ursula. You mustn't think of it.
Fair dues if I get my own back. And we have such a jolly old age. Let's make a plan.
Me? No. I couldn't.
you want me to be cooped up here forever. They'll throw you out too before long, and there'll be no fun for either of us then. Get that story to Cynthia. Don't take a minute.
Never. Never. Mind you, if he'd let you come for a walk with us, I did find the boggy bits yesterday.
Oh, Cynthia! Well done!
And so it was, my dears. The Countess was let out, and such a pleasant wander they had all three through woods and fields. And then the boggy bits.
I say, getting jolly scrotchy here. Yeah?
It's all right if you keep going. No, that way. Mind how you go, Poddles. But then, oh dear, something went amiss somehow. But it wasn't the noble lord who took the wrong path, but, oh dear, a heroine herself. Cynthia! And there, alas, she is to this day. A sad end to a fairy tale, but the right one, I dare say, for a witch. And in fact, there was a happy ending of sorts, because her sister and the noble lord had become very fond of each other. Yes, my dears, even when you're old, you can still fall in love. So perhaps the story didn't turn out too badly after all. For the noble lord and Cynthia married. At least we soon shall be. And they lived happily ever after. As I'm sure we shall. Ah, the grown-ups are back, my treasures. The memorial service is over. Let's all go and have tea, shall we?
Cynthia, my love!
Come in, Poddles.
Joyce Carey played Cynthia and Polly James, Ursula, in A Likely Story by Owen Holden. Teddy was played by Stephen Rushbrook, Jules by John Sampson, the Coroner, Alan Dudley, Prince Rodrigo, Stephen Tomkinson, Potters, Jonathan Cecil, Gaston, Kim Wall, Henry, Roger Hammond, Inspector Straker, Brian Hewlett, the Judge, Tim Reynolds, Merle, Margaret Robertson, and Ramos, Paul Sir. A Likely Story was written by Owen Holder and directed by Ian Cottrell.